Almost 40 years ago, a young Berkeley English professor named Frederick Crews published a book called The Pooh Perplex. It was a gentle satire of the prevailing trends of literary criticism in the 1960s. The Pooh Perplex parodies fictional academics who pick apart the children's story of Winnie the Pooh according to their own biases. The book was an unexpected success, and Crews recently published a companion volume called Postmodern Pooh. Frederick Crews joins us on the line from Berkeley, California. Now, Professor Crews, first of all, why Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh is a great classic, which just about everybody had read back in 1963. I'm not sure it's so true anymore, thanks to Disney. But I needed a book that would be familiar to lots and lots of readers, and also a book that would be very transparent. In other words, it's easy to approach it from any number of points of view so that it can be exploited by all these critics. And I decided to take 12 individuals, or schools of criticism in some cases, and have an imaginary character in each case do his worst. And I do mean his, because they were all males at that time. Do his worst with Winnie the Pooh and see what came of it. But times have changed. You know, the Freudians are now Lacanian Freudians, and the Marxists are postmodern Marxists. So you've got to keep up with these folks.
Well, I got to wonder, though, I mean, we're talking about these kind of esoteric academic things. People in the regular world who aren't professors, could they pick up the Pooh Perplex? Could they understand what's going on in these satires?
They could understand the Pooh Perplex a lot better than they're going to understand postmodern Pooh, and there's nothing I can do about that. It's because of the times. Literary criticism has gotten much more professional, much more ingrown, much more jargonistic. It has a lot more political emphasis, but the political emphasis is couched in an idiom that most people outside the field can't understand. So I'm really making fun of that, and your general reader will be able to see what's going on without necessarily understanding all the jargon.
I wonder if we can get an example. Do you have the book with you?
I certainly do. Let me quote from an early paragraph in the chapter by my post-colonial theorist, whose name is Das Nuffadat. He was born in Calcutta. And he says, we have so much to discuss, for, as Gayatri Chakravorty Spivak has said so well, and then here's a quotation, the rememoration of the present as space is the possibility of the utopian imperative of no particular place, the metropolitan project that can supplement the post-colonial attempt at the impossible cathexis of place-bound history as the lost time of the spectator, unquote. And he says, that's what we're all here for, wouldn't you agree? Of course, no one would have the faintest idea what that statement meant.
Well, I mean, yeah, I hate to say the emperor has no clothes, but in fact, that is just bad writing. It doesn't make any sense, and yet what you're saying is this is the kind of stuff that kids are studying in school these days?
I'm afraid so. You know, for years I wrote critical discourse about this discourse, and now I've decided to stop nagging people and just make fun of it. I could give you an example by reading a passage from my radical feminist, if you like.
Oh, sure. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Her name is Sisera Cathedre, and she's talking about Kanga here. She says,
and Kanga is, just remind us.
Kanga is the only female character in Winnie the Pooh. She is the mother of Roo. And the question here really is whether Kanga represents an adequate tribute to woman. As for Kanga, if you think she embodies a genuine tribute to woman, what do you make of this line from an early draft of the book? Quote, every Tuesday Kanga spent the day with his great friend Pooh, unquote. That's a real passage, by the way. When Milne finally consented to make him female, the accompanying plot element was foreordained, a scheme to expel her from the bachelor pad forest once and for all. You can actually see from a shepherd illustration Pooh's alarm at the moment he spots Kanga's pouch and realizes that his great friend is no longer one of the gang. It's a scene straight out of Boys Don't Cry.
At the risk of stating the obvious, instead of just having fun and reading this wonderful children's stories, these academics are trying to make something out of it, which is clearly not there.
Well, yes, that was their job in 1963, and that's their job now, to the production of critical discourse.
Well, Professor Cruz, what has been the response from the academic community over the past, 30 years?
Oh, the response to the Pooh Perplex was wonderful. Everywhere I traveled for 35 years and more in the academic world, people would say to me, when are you putting out a new Pooh Perplex? When are you going to update this book? People loved it. No one ever complained about it. No one ever thought it was in bad taste or anything of the sort. And some people even thought that it had some good effect on the field, although looking at what happened to Lit Crit from the 70s and 80s through the 90s, I would say that my book didn't really have much effect at all. I think people looked at the Pooh Perplex and laughed very loudly at the people in the office down the hall, but not at themselves.
Frederick Cruz is Professor Emeritus of English at UC Berkeley. His latest book is Postmodern Pooh. Thank you, Professor Cruz.
Thank you.